We went to a memorial service on Friday. We had to go to Middlebury, a beautiful little congregational church in Middlebury. It was so beautiful. The pastor was wonderful. And we sang praises. We were asked to sing. A beautiful man who treated his family with more love than most people know, and his wife when she was sick, and we got to meet them. And we sang, but there was one thing at that church that we noticed the first thing. It was a beautiful, brand new church, but they didn't have any cushions. And in about 10 minutes of sitting there, I realized what? They didn't have any cushions. We are blessed, children. Give God praise. Hallelujah. God is so good, and He is so faithful. How many know that He is faithful? How many would be scared if you went to church one day and the rules all of a sudden were changed? That you started changing things in the Word of God? You see, and I tell you this one more time. Those people who are saying that the churches must change are those people who, I have to tell you, as far as I'm concerned as a pastor, do not know what's written in that book. Do not understand what is written in that book. Because everything in that book works for all of us. Amen? And if you start to change, if man starts to change that, then we're following man instead of God. Amen. But they don't. You see, when you understand the truth of the book, the love and how it gets into your spirit, then you understand that is where you need to be. And when somebody says the church needs to change, you have to understand that then they don't understand church and the Word of God. Amen. That's just that simple. Because God has an answer for all of us. Amen. For all of us. He has an answer to bring us together as a family. And I just have to say that. We got to do it. Hallelujah. Give it a try, Pete. tell you what, God's painting a picture. You want to see God? How many say, oh, I want to see God? I'm telling you what, here in New England, he shows us God. You drive up, and we're going to go tomorrow and drive up and see the trees that none of us had anything to do with that are growing in the mountains, and we're going to see colors. So many beautiful things, the way it's, the God just paints you a picture. He is painting that picture for, guess who? You.
That's right.
And he wants you just to say, look how great God is. God's saying, do you like me now? Look at the beautiful things. That's a gift from God to who? To us. Amen. Other parts of the country and other parts of the world have their other paintings that he paints for the folks in Arizona with the desert and the beautiful things. But here in New England, this is our time where God is saying, hey, New England, look how beautiful things are. You had nothing to do with all of this. You can't mess it up because this is mine to show you. And we see that all the time. So I'm telling you what, to have God in your heart right here every day changes your life. You can't look at your husband, you can't look at your wife the same way every day when you see God inside. That doesn't mean you're going to have disagreements, amen? Of course you're going to have disagreements. How to do things, why to do things, who's right, who's wrong, we know that. But when it comes down to love, see, then all that, it doesn't matter anymore, amen? It doesn't, because that spirit is inside of you, amen? On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I loved that old cross for the dearest and best.
Almost sang that song, that close. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up and pray together. Thank you, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You want to do something great and be remembered for God? We sang The Rugged Cross. Anybody, how many of y'all heard that song? A lot of everybody's heard it. The fellow that wrote that song passed away in 1952 at the age of 29. 29 years old. He passed away. And he wrote that song. Rugged Cross. Rugged Cross. Rugged Cross. He wrote that song in a moment where he was talking to God. And he probably never thought that song he would be remembered for. That song would be remembered here in 2016. The name of the man that wrote that song was Hank Williams. Wrote that song. And churches all over the United States, any Christian church anywhere that believes in the resurrection believes in the rugged cross. Amen. He wrote that song, I'm sure, not thinking about a church. He wasn't thinking about fame. He sat down one night and he must have been just thinking, the only place I need to look is to God, the rugged cross. That was my victory. Amen. You want to do something great for God, you never know where it starts. Amen. But I can tell you one place it starts. Karen, it starts with you. When you start walking with God, you're starting to do great things for God. And you never know what you're going to say to, who you're going to say it to, or what you're going to think of. Marty, the song that you write might be the simplest of songs that people will be singing 75 years from now. Because you wrote this, because God put it in your spirit. See, that's how you do great things for God. Hallelujah. Responsive reading, Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God of Jacob defend you. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Your heart's desire. Imagine that. We will rejoice in your salvation. In the name of God, we will set our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Hallelujah. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's powerful. The man who wrote that knew about God. The man who wrote that meant every word of it. Amen? Hallelujah. I wrote an article in a newspaper once. Anybody ever read it? I wrote songs. I'm saying. There are, thank God, first of all, that God wrote this. Amen. To all the songs and all the articles I've written, I wrote them. Who? Me. I. Someone I respect very, very much. Somebody who does great things for children. I mean, great. Sacrifices his time, his energy, his life for children. Disagrees with me 100% on certain issues. 100%. I respect him, anybody here have anybody that disagrees with you that you respect? You see, and I'm going to catch you on this. I'm warning you before I get the testimony. I'm Dave. I'm going to catch you now. I can see this far. Amen. My friend can see this far. This is as far as we can see. I see today, right now. My friend can only see today and right now. Do you all agree with that? Are you reading? I want this. I pray for this. I see it as far as I can see it. All agree? So I should tell you what to do. No, right? Of course not. But I should do one thing. And the testimony today. One thing I should do one thing. One thing that leads you to victory no matter what happens around you. Amen? No matter what happens tomorrow, I should lead you today to victory through that. Amen? Whatever that comes against it. We may actually agree about life and when life begins, yet we may disagree on how best to do it. Amen? I think I have done enough damage in our lives by following I, me, and my. Now, I'm confessing that. Anybody else want to confess that? Hallelujah. But here's the thing. I can see this far. God says, lean not on your own understanding. I can see this far. But there's someone else who can see tomorrow. And not only see tomorrow, Elaine, but see next year and the year after that. Amen? I want to lead you absolutely. I want to lead you. But I want to lead you absolutely to God. That's where I need to lead you. Amen? He sees tomorrow. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? He sees the finished prayer. Amen? Anybody understand? He sees the finished prayer. He sees when you pray how it's going to end so that the answer to the prayer, amen, Sergio, will bless who? Everybody. Amen? He's not picking teams. He's saying, I'm going to bless you, but when I bless you, those around you shall be blessed also. Amen? Because you can't stand next to a blessing without feeling. You just can't do it. Are you with me? Do you trust God? He sees this election so completely different than you and I see it. Amen? And this is where I'm leading you. You ask God. You ask for God's hand on every concern. Amen? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's what you hold on to. The people he has chosen as his own inheritance. So when you pray, you trust who? You trust God for what? His what? His answer. Amen? So when you pray, you trust he alone will answer. Blessings on all of us. Amen? Blessings for your family, for your friends. If this time teaches us life's values, it teaches us to pray, to trust in God for the blessed answer in all that we do in all our lives. And listen to this part. This is the part that you have to learn. And it's not just about what's going to happen in a couple of weeks, because this is about your life today. It may be hard for you to let go and let God. You may think that you are 100% right about what you're saying, and God is saying you don't have a clue what you're talking about. He said, but God sees tomorrow. Amen. So when you let go and let God, that means you let go of the anger. You let go of the frustration. You let go of everything because you've given it to God. Amen. If you give it to God and you walk away angry, what have you given him? Nothing. Amen. Like the story I heard many years ago, the beautiful little story had nothing to do with the Bible, but it was a story about a boy bringing a toy to Jesus, saying, Jesus, can you fix this toy for me? And Jesus said, of course, I can fix this toy for you. And then the boy came back and a half hour later and said, Jesus, why haven't you fixed the toy for me? And Jesus said, because you haven't given it to me yet. When you pray, and I know it's hard to let go of whatever you think you want, and that sometimes you feel like your faith is straining to hang on your hope, but let me tell you, God always has and always will answer. And if we trust him and we pray to him, amen, and we believe him, then we do what we're led to do in our flesh, whatever we can see right here, and we think our opinion, we think everything you do in your life, how you meet people, what you say to people, how you treat people, where you go at work, are you on time, everything that you do, he sees, we see it, amen? God, you have to see that God sees it, that God sees the next thing. So you walk according to God. You do everything you can according to God. You work as hard as you can, saying thank you for the job God gave me, for the family, for the love. You walk and you pray. But then after you pray, you have to trust. Now, whatever happens tomorrow, you know that God has got a plan for the day after. Amen? That whatever happens to you this afternoon, God's got a plan for the day after, if you're trusting in God. And I know you have prayers that you want answered. When? When do you want them answered? Now. But God is saying, I have a better plan for the answer to your prayer. Amen? And if you trust him with it, then all of a sudden anxiety is gone and anger is gone. And frustration is gone because you've given it to God. Amen. If you're believing for something, if you're giving up something for God, if you're giving, then you claim that you've given it up. You give it up now. I'm done. You've given up something. It was eating pasta at 9 o'clock, we're saying. But I know there's folks here that have those bond, whatever it is, on, all right, smoking. Okay, let's. You say today, right now, I have given it up. And somebody might say, well, you got a cigarette in your pocket. I don't care. I don't care what I got in my pocket. I have given it up already. It is already done. God is working with me to get through it, but it is already done. And never, say with me, never, say that, never claim bad things are going to happen when you do it. Never say that I'm going to do this, but boy, I'm going to have this and this problem, because that's what's going to happen here. The worst place for anything to happen to you is here. Because you get in the way. Now, I know we're all praying about what's coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm praying for it. I know how I feel about it. But God's not concerned about how I feel about it. He's concerned about, are we all looking up to Him? Are we trusting Him? Because like I told you, this man that I absolutely respect, as I mean, this man does, he completely disagrees with everything that I feel. And I want to stand back and say, how's that happen? Because it's life, amen? And it's the way we see. But if he gets on this side of the church, and I get on that chair to the church, and it's just the two of us, and we get down on our knees and we say, Lord, we need you. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Then the answer that we get will be the answer that God is presenting to us, because he sees tomorrow. Amen. So whatever you're going on in your life, whatever you're fighting with, know that God sees tomorrow. Give him that. Give him that. Let go and let God with things in your life. Things are coming against you. Let me tell you, a lot of things came against my Jesus. Amen. A lot of things. They mocked him. They spit at him. They threw things at him. They hung him on a cross. A lot of things came against him. But what did he do? He showed love and compassion. Love and compassion win the battle. Amen. And when you let go of the anger, you let go of frustration, then guess what can fill you, Sergio? Love and compassion. And when that happens, people might feel it. Other people might around you might think it's strange. But they'll catch on. Amen. Because love never fails. Hallelujah. That's the testimony. Pray, and when you pray, know that God sees a lot further than you. When you say, Lord, I need, Lord, send me, Lord, I want, Lord, help me with this job, God's saying, I know, I got a plan. Now you just go ahead and do all the little things that you can do today, and you do them with joy, and you do them with peace. And when people ask you how you have joy and peace in this fire, you say, because God's with me. And you tell them about God. And then you go. And your body begins to heal because the stress is gone. And your body begins to heal because the frustrations are gone. And you take a breath and say, oh, I got plenty to do. I can do today while God's working on the miracles. God is watching us. He is watching who we tell people about him. He sees us. He sees our prayer. He sees our heart. He knows those who are telling the truth and who are not telling. Who really say they love him when they don't. He saw it. He told us about this book. The people in this book who claim to know him. Who claim to know him. But yet when he stood in front of them. Right there. Right there, Marty. When God stood in front of these people who claimed to know him, they didn't see him. I never want any of us to be there, and I know we're not going to be. If Jesus walked in that door right now, we'd know who he was immediately. We would feel the love and the compassion. That's what we need to show the world. That's how we're going to change this town and change people's lives. Because when we heal people, they're going to heal people around them and bring them here where the word of God is spoken. Not where the pastor speaks his opinions. Forgive me, Lord, for my iniquities, because I've done that many times. And I probably still do at times because I can't help it. But forgive us for our iniquities. Lead us to you, Lord. We have our opinions, and you probably sit up there laughing about us all the time. And just watch my children. Look at them shaking your head like we did with our little five-year-old kids when they did foolish little things. But now we're trusting in God to heal this land, to heal our country, in the way he sees fit. I don't want any man to get in the way of what God wants to do for us. I want it to be the way he sees fit. I don't want to change one word in this book. I want it the way he told us to be. I want God to be my rock and my foundation. In order for that to happen, I need to trust him with everything in my life. This morning I pledged that trust over and over again. I claim the promises, I claim the prayers, but I claim that I love him and I will trust him today. Today going forward, because he sees tomorrow. My Jesus, my Savior, my God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Church, give your God praise. If we had people with that kind of faith and strength, we wouldn't be fighting one another. We would be leading one another, and we'd be loving one another. Amen. If we had that kind of faith, we'd be, everybody in church would be preaching. Know him. Don't know church. Don't know. Know him. Amen. Know him, and when you know him, you will know when you to turn left and when you turn right that God will bring you back. You will know the difference, amen? But you need to know him first. Hallelujah. Job was a man who loved God. I want you to be relaxed, and I'll try to see how we can get through this, but I want you to enjoy this. But a lot of people have never heard this story before, maybe never read their Bibles through this, but this is an amazing, amazing story. Job was a man who loved God. The faith of Job in times of peace, blessing. It's easy to praise God. Amen? When things are going good, you can do what? Praise him. Amen? You walk with God, tell others about God. But when the trials and the tests and the tribulations come, our faith is tested. Amen? In this life, we live from what? Faith to faith. Amen. Our faith continues to grow. It is never growing to the end. We live faith to faith. When our family loses faith, or our friends lose faith, it would be easy to lose our way. Amen. When people around you, when you hang around with people around you who have no faith, it is easy for you to what? Have no faith. No courage. No strength to lean on God. It would be easy. We make our choices. The pain is real. Despair in question. We even question why. Why? When we question why, I told you last week, that shows what? Faith. Remember last week I said, when you question God, why is this happening? It shows faith because you're including him in your question. Hallelujah. In this life, we will face moments of pain and sadness, worry, doubt. But with Jesus, with who? In this life, we have hope and in his strength to continue. With God, we learn that we can do all things, and there are no great victories without great battles. Amen? Hallelujah. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yokes of oxen, 500 female donkeys, a very large household, and a what? Somebody gonna, Fred, I know you got it, and a partridge in a pear tree, right? A very large household, that this man was the greatest of all people in the East. Of the East. And his sons would go and feast. Listen to what he did. And they would feast in their houses, each one on his appointed day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. He would set them apart. He would call his children together. Imagine you trying to do this. After a big party and a celebration, he called his children together and he set them apart. And he would rise early in the morning and offer a burnt offering according to the number of all of them. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did it regularly. He got his children, he separated them with him, asked for forgiveness, amen, got on his knees and repented, asked God to forgive their iniquities, amen. He did this regularly. He sanctified them, which is a big word. It just simply means he set them apart, amen. He just pulled them apart. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Did that tell you something? Satan cannot be everywhere at one time. Amen. Who can be? God can be where? Everywhere. All the time because of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Spirit. But Satan cannot do that. Understand that. He cannot do that. And he told him from all the things. I'm walking back and forth. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth? A blameless and upright man. One who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of a sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. It fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose. He tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell on the ground and worshipped and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the God of the Lord. When he cut his hair, shaved his head, and tore his robe, those were traditions, amen? Those were signs of repenting, amen? Those were humbling signs. The getting as low as you, tearing their robe, shaving their head, were reducing themselves to ashes, amen? That's what it was. It was repenting. That was the traditions back in the day. That's how they repented. That's how they did it. That's how serious it was. Again, there was a day. Oh, I'm sorry. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Amen. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along with them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said, where do you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro the earth, walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife, who? Said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all the adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite. Those are where they were from, folks. That's all it really means. You're a Derbyite, amen? If you're from Derby, you're a Derbyite. That's all it means and where they're from. And when they had, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And to do what? They're going to comfort him. Amen. Remember that. And when they raised their eyes from afar, and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept. Each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one, who? No one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. They did exactly what we talk about when grief hits you. Sometimes there are how many words? Zero. When you're there to comfort somebody, sometimes your presence is the comfort that's needed. Nothing more. Amen. And they saw the pain. They saw it real. They didn't recognize their friend. So they sat with him for 7 days and never said a word. Amen. But with flesh and with people, that only lasts how long? So long. Stay with me. And this, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Did he curse God? Hallelujah. And Job spoke and said, "May the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived." He didn't curse God. His pain was real, amen. He simply said, "I wish I had never been born than to face this." Amen. He was in pain. Amen. And his first friend, Eliphaz, he's a man like me. Amen. How far can he see? He can only see this far. Did he know what God was doing? No. Did he have any idea what God was? Did he have any idea what Job was going through and why? Amen. Anybody ever meet anybody that said, "Hey, God told me"? We used to call in the other church, "The God told me." Bonnie, you ever have anybody with the "God told me"s? This is what he says to Job. "Now a word was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a whisper of it." What was he going to start telling Job? His what? Opinion was to follow. He was telling Job, "As for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause," assuming that Job had done something what? Wrong. Amen. Here's his friend. Now he's going to comfort him. And the first thing out of his mouth is saying, "You did something wrong, pal. You need to go to God, because if it was me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause." Something wrong. He says God frustrates the device of the crafty. So he's saying, "Job, you must have been trying to be crafty." And he said, "He catches the wise in their own craftiness." You're a pretty wise guy, Job. All the things that you're saying, you're all saying. And he said, "Behold, Job, happy is the man who God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty." Hallelujah. He's telling Job, "You must have done something wrong, pal. You know, come on. You just go to God and repent. And when you repent, everything's going to be fine." Amen. That was his first friend. And his second friend, Beldad. Job should repent. Job must have sinned. Amen. Listen to his comfort. "How long will you speak these things, Job, and in the words of your mouth be like strong wind? Does God subvert judgment? Or does the Almighty pervert justice?" What is he saying to his friend? He went to comfort him, and he's saying, "Well, you must have did so many things wrong. How can you even think that God's going to help you? You did what you did." And listen to what he says. "If your sons, Job, have sinned against him, he has cast them away for their transgressions. If you would earnestly seek God and make your supplications to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for you." Anybody's been in pain, and you tell them that God must be sleeping. Well, God's not caring about you right now, so maybe you need to do this, that, and the other before, so God can care about you again. Amen. This is compassion. These are Job's friends trying to give him compassion. That one line just really hit me. "Surely now he would awake for you." It's like going somewhere where somebody's hurting and say, "Yeah, you must, you know, God's not looking at you now. You're all by yourself. You're on a," amen. "He would awake for you." Thank you, Lord. That was two of his friends, amen. Yeah, there was one more. One more friend. Should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be vindicated? And he said, Job, should your empty talk make men hold their peace? And when you mock, should no one rebuke you? For you have said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in your eyes. But oh, that God would speak. Oh, that but I'm here to give you tenderness and compassion. But oh, that God would speak to you, open up his lips against you, that he would show you the secrets of wisdom. For they would double your prudence. Know therefore that God exacts from you less than your iniquity deserves. He's telling his friend, not only did you deserve everything that happened, but you're lucky that God only gave you half of what you deserve. Now these are people coming to do what with Job? Comfort him. Counsel him. Because they could see how far. Amen. When you're praying for stuff, how far do you see? Amen. And you don't get the answer. I mean, they could see this far, and they went there. And at first, they were good friends. They just remained quiet. But they couldn't help themselves. Amen. One of them heard from God. Oh, God spoke to me. And after he spoke to him, he gave him opinion. Amen. Now, this last one, this third one here. Know therefore that God exacts from you less than your iniquity deserves. His family deserved to be punished and killed. That's what his friend is telling him. Amen. Trust in man, or you trust in God. Then God answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you, Lord. You asked, who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand. These things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. And he said, listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and show you shall answer me. I have heard you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, Lord, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Did he curse God? Was he mad at God? Did he blame God? Nothing. He what loved? He loved who? His faith was where? And through every single thing he went through, he kept looking up and asking God why. And what did I tell you last week? Why shows what? Faith. When you ask God, why me? You're telling God, I need you, Lord. I need to know. Talk to me. You've invited him into your problem. You have invited him into your situation. That shows faith. That shows faith that you're asking God, why, Lord? Help me, Lord. He did everything. If you read the book of Job, you'll read the things that he said. How he said, he didn't understand. And he wanted God to show him. He never one time blamed God. Amen. He never one time cursed God. Who told him to do it? Who told him to curse God? His what? His wife. Your children can try to pull you away from God. The world can try to pull you away from God. Sometimes your partner in life can try to, because their faith isn't there. Amen. They can do that. That's why Job had one look. Where was it? Up. Amen. He had one look. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, the Derbyite, My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken to me what is right as my servant Job has. Now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up sacrifice. Offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And listen to what he says. God, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job had. He said, you know what I'm going to do to you? Because of the, he said, I'm going to make you live the things that you told Job, all the things that you, information you gave him, and the opinions you gave him. I'm going to pour that out on you, unless he prays for you. Unless he prays for you. Amen. God never sounds angry, but right there he sounds pretty angry to me. You've spoken what is not right, and my servant has. Now therefore take for yourself 7 bulls, 7 rams, go to servant Job, offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly. So Eliphaz, the Derbyite, Bildad, the Ansonite, and Zophar, the guy from Milford, went and did as the Lord commanded them. For the Lord had accepted Job, And, say that with me, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Job is a magnificent, it's just a magnificent story. He was a magnificent man in many ways. But brothers and sisters, 2016, amen? Job is us. You might not have what he went through, but what you're going through is as real as what he's going through, what he went through. Amen? Your pain, your sorrow, all the worries, those are yours, and they're right there in your heart. Amen? But Job is us, our life and our struggles. Amen? Job's wife, his friends, Job's love for God stands alone. Job was not a perfect man. Amen? His faith was what made perfect through the battle. Your faith will be made perfect through each battle. Do not look at what's happening in the world in your eyes. Look at it through God's eyes. Say, God's got a plan. He has a plan for you today. He wants to better your life today. He's not concerned with the issues. If he betters your life today, then you can better somebody else's tomorrow. You can lead somebody else away from anger. You can lead somebody else away from confusion. You can better their lives by telling them about God, showing them what God has done for you. See, God heals our land. Amen. Men make a mess of it. I told you before, I heard men want to change this. They want people to go, they want the church to change their teachings, to fit according to their idea. Amen. I don't want this idea. I want the idea of everlasting. Amen. I want the God who sees tomorrow to be my leader. Amen. Hallelujah. I once said, I prayed for the patience of Job and the faith of the centurion. Centurion is one who's in control of 100 people. Karen, the centurion was the one that Jesus went to, and the centurion said, my servant is sick at home. You heal. Say that he is healed. And would you pray for him? And Jesus said, I'll come to your house now. And the centurion said, no, you don't have to come to my house. You just say that he's healed. And I know that he'll be healed. Because I understand authority, he said. I see who you are. I understand. And he said, you just say it. Now this man wasn't a Christian, amen? This man understood authority, and he looked at Jesus. He wasn't even Bible smart, like the, and he said, just say it. And Jesus said, I have never seen faith like that. So I prayed for the patience of Job and the faith of the centurion. And my pastor said, Larry, be careful with that. Because what they went through to get there, the battles and the struggles they went through to get there, are quite amazing and quite powerful. Amen. So I just say to you today, he was not a perfect man. We are not perfect. Amen. Anybody in here perfect? Jackie just walked. I'm not sure. Jackie, good. His faith and your faith was made perfect through the battles with God. Give him praise, church. If I wore a robe, would that make me worthy? If I wore bright colors, would that make me worthy? No. Repenting makes me worthy. Asking God to remove my iniquities makes me worthy. And it makes you worthy to receive as we share. The blood, he said, as he poured it into a cup, is his blood being shed for us for the remission of our sins, I believe. I accept and I receive. In Jesus' name. Thank you, deacons. Believe this, brothers and sisters. God can see into your heart. He sees into the hearts of people. He knows the reality. He knows what's real. He knows what's not real. He sees into the heart. Hallelujah. That's why we need to trust him with all he does for us and all that we put in, all that we give him, all our prayers. We need to believe. He sees into the heart of man. Thank you. We always want His plan to be worked out His way. His way. Thank you, Lord.